Let's take a moment to pray again. Father, we want to hear you, O God. As Jacob said, unless you bless me, I'm not going to leave you. And similarly, God, we have come because we want you and we want your Spirit of God to convict us even today, Father. Convince us, encourage us, and help us, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me start with a story. It's about, you know, a lady's husband had an open heart surgery. I do not know how many of you have seen people who have gone through open heart surgery, right? When they go through, it's a very critical condition because the doctors normally say when a person have gone through open heart surgery, you know, you need to try to avoid some exciting news. You know, good news can also harm them, you know, can kill them. Worse is bad news, right? And so they will always say, you know, try to be calm with them because the heart is not in a condition to take any even good news, exciting news, right? Interesting news or even sad news. And so when the husband went through a heart surgery, he was in a very critical situation, but he was able to speak. And he was, you know, there. The wife received a letter, right, saying that the husband inherited $1 million. Wow. Can you imagine? She was so excited. $1 million, right? Looks like you guys have more than $1 million. It looks like you're not excited about $1 million. Probably you have $5 million or $10 million. So she was so excited. And, you know, she wanted to tell the husband, but she's afraid because this guy might die, right, after hearing the good news. So she called the pastor or the priest, right, and she said, you know, pastor, I need your help, you know, I want you to come, you know, and just tell my husband, you know, I don't know how to tell him, you know, I'm afraid. Can you share that good news to him and say, though, you got $1 million? So the pastor went to see him, you know, the pastor said, you know, the name of the man was Joe, and he said, Joe, if you have $1 million, what would you do? You know, so the pastor, very smart, you know, very interesting way of asking. He said, Joe, what would you do if you have $1 million? And Joe responded by saying, why, pastor, if I have $1 million, I will give it to you. And on hearing the word, you know, the pastor dropped dead and died. By the way, it's not me, you know, I'm still alive, right? Yeah, you know, I wanted to talk to you about something, you know, it's a very touchy topic, you know, sometimes we don't want to hear from the pulpit. Anytime a pastor talks about money, right, about giving, you know, you will say, oh, looks like, you know, the church needs some kind of money, right? And I know it's a very touchy, you know, some people don't like because we say it's very private, it's between me and God. But I think it's important for us, right, to talk about money, giving, about stewardship, giving of ourselves. It's not just restricted to money alone, but it's about stewardship. Stewardship means things that are entrusted to God, to us, by God. And, you know, how do we... how are we responding to the way that God has actually given us and trusted certain things to us, or even the money that God has given to us, right? Just to give you a background, what took place in the passage that we just read today, right? I think Jesus is going to the temple, right? And by the way, you know, this is just, scholars say it's almost like another 48 hours before Jesus is going to die for us. Can you imagine? And Jesus is just cool, right? He's relaxing. He's in the temple, right? And he's just sitting down. He's watching people, you know, giving, and then he is talking to the people, right? So in those days, temple was a place where people just made sacrifices to God, and they gave God. That was the place for the temple. There was no instruction that happens in the temple. Teaching of the word always takes place in the synagogue. So people go to the synagogue to be taught, to be equipped. But in the temple, it was a place they sacrificed, they gave, right? And Jesus was in the temple. Just to give you a place, Jesus was around the court of women, women's court, right? It doesn't mean it is restricted to the women, But it means, you know, this is the maximum, the max area they can go, right? Others are also allowed to be there. And so Jesus was around there. It's big. Well, let me tell you, you know, the picture tells you as if it's too it's small, but it's big, right? Much more bigger than probably a couple of soccer fields, right? Maybe baseball fields for you, right? And so it's much more big. And so Jesus is around the women's court. Just to give you a closer picture, right? And this is the court of women, and you know, the court of the priests, and then we will have the court of the Gentiles, and the Gentiles are not supposed to cross because they can be penalized for crossing. And so what's happening, you know, Jesus is actually, it's not a place for teaching, by the way, as I told you, but Jesus is actually teaching. And it's something like a floating classroom, right? He's teaching probably in one of the places around the court of women, and it's just people are just walking by because it's around Passover time, so thousands of people are there. So Jesus is standing or probably sitting down, and in those days rabbis would sit down and teach, and so he was just teaching, and so people were just listening. And then for a moment, what happened, I think Jesus was just sitting down to see, you know, what was happening. You know, when I looked at the passage, I was asking myself, come on, right? Giving is very private, but it tells me something. Just imagine, Jesus got 48 hours, right, before he's going to be tried and crucified. But he, in verse 41, it says that Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offering were put and watched the crowd. Can you imagine for a moment? Jesus was not just passing by and looking at the way people were giving. There was an intention here, right? Jesus sat down because he wanted to see just opposite the place, and he wanted to see how people were giving to the Lord. Right? And so, and he was just watching. He was just watching how people was just giving to the Lord. I was asking myself, why? Lord, why are you so, why do you want to watch? Can you imagine if today we have an offering, right? In the, you know, and the plate is here and I'm sitting down and watching, right? I think none of you will come here. You will ask your friend beside you, can you give it to, you know, on behalf of me? So Jesus is just sitting down and watching because I think he cares about our life. Because where the Bible says where your treasure is, your heart is. You know, very interesting when you look at scriptures very carefully. I know when you look at scriptures and you literally count them, you realize out of the 38 parables, 16 of them talks about money or stewardship. Out of the 38 or 36 parables, you know, 16 of them speaks about money or related to finance. One in every 10 verses of the gospel speaks about money, my friend. Can you imagine? One in every 10 verses in the gospel speaks about money. And there are 2,000 verses that speaks about money in the gospel. You know how many verses talks about faith? It's only 500. You know how many words speaks about prayer? It's only 500. But there are 2,000 words or verses that speaks about money, because I think it's important for us, because we earn, we spend, we earn, we spend. You know, the way we spend speaks about us. The way we spend talks about our priorities about life. And God has entrusted wealth to us, or money to us, or given things to us, or even talents God has given to us. You know, are we responsible for the things that God has given to us? So the first thing of which I realize, I think God cares about our giving, right? He cares about the way that we are using our finances, my friend. We might say this is a private thing, it's between me, it's my, because I have earned that money. Let me tell you, it's God has actually given us the strength. God has given us a good position, a good career, right? He has placed you, probably a person of authority, and he has blessed you, he has made you able-bodied person to earn. And so God cares about your giving. because it is everything belongs to Him. So Jesus, as I said, you know, Jesus took time to sit opposite, right, and just watch people giving, because He was concerned how they were giving to God. He wanted to see, you know, their priorities. How do they see God? How do they perceive the way God has actually blessed them, my friend? And so it's important for us as Christians, right? I know sometimes you don't like to hear pastors preaching about money, pastors talking about giving, right? Because you say what the right hand gives, the left hand shouldn't know, kind of a thing. But I think God is concerned about our giving. He wants to know how faithful we are to the things that has actually been entrusted to us. Let's move on. You know, the verse also says, right, when Jesus sat down, He was watching. There were rich people. By the way, you know, this offering, there were 12 different kinds of offering where Jesus was sitting down. So 12 different kinds of places, you know. It's something like a trumpet kind of a thing. So you put your money there. And just to give you a background, there are 12. And, you know, it will be stated, you know, for what the money is for. Probably for the maintenance of the temple, to buy sacrifices. But there's one particular offering that every Jew is supposed to give. It's a half shekel. In other words, you know, you have to give. That belongs to God. But the others are optional, right? It's free will. Whether you want to give or not, it's okay, right? But this lady is giving not the half shekel alone, which is mandatory. It's compulsory. But she is giving in the free will offering. You know, I will also talk about you. You know, Jesus is looking, and then He sees many rich people threw in large amounts. I know whenever you read this particular passage, you think, you know, these guys are so proud, you know, they are coming with large amounts of money, right? And they are throwing in the money. I think if you look at the passage very carefully, Jesus did not make any statement about them. Or did He ever comment about the way they were giving, right? The Bible just says that many rich people threw in large amount. Jesus did not have a statement or did not remark about the way that they gave. I think the Lord appreciates their giving, right? God appreciates. Probably, you know, many of us will say, you know, I give. Yes, God appreciates. I'm not saying no, my friend, because the Lord did not say, these guys are wrong in the way they give. No. Right, they threw in good amount because they were also concerned about the maintenance of the temple, right? And they were just giving to God. But let's look at the poor widow. What's happening, right? Looking at the Greek word, very interesting word. It means, in our today's context, she's a homeless person. She got nothing, right? I think many of us have seen homeless people. They have a card, and that's what they have, right? Or sometimes they have a big bag and they carry it everywhere they go. And this lady did not even have a card at all. Right? And she was homeless and she had only 2 coins, my friend. Right? And she had 2 coins. And I took a picture of a coin, but this is what she had. Probably if you find a coin like this, you'll throw it away, right? And this is what she had. It was so small, 2 copper coins. And in those days, or maybe in today's context, it's something like $2, right? Maybe today for $2 you can get something. But what much can you get? I don't think so you can get a sandwich for $2, right? In Toronto it's at least $5, right? And if you go to Europe, it's much more bigger, right? Water, mineral water is $3, so I made sure that I drank every bit of the water because it's $3 in Europe and it is expensive, unlike Toronto. So what's happening? You know, she is giving. She didn't have anything. And then, but she gave. You know, whenever you say, you know, how many coins did she give, you always say 2. But actually she gave all. That's what she had. She got nothing to depend on. She does not know where the next meal is going to come. Can you imagine a situation like this? Today, we have so many credit cards, right, under our name. There's so much of cash, right? We We don't need to worry about finances. Only when, you know, there's a big payment when we think about it. Other than that, for everyday expenses, we do have the means to take care of ourselves. But then Jesus, in verse 43, it says, calling his disciple, you know, it's very interesting. Jesus was so excited because the word says, right, the word says, calling his disciples, and he says, truly. The word here truly means Jesus is saying, amen. So Jesus is calling his disciples. Probably he was just giving them signal, and maybe they were looking somewhere else, right? Looking the crowd of people, and he was just calling them, you know, come, I got something to share. And he was saying, amen. Right? He says, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more into the treasury than all the others. You know, Jesus was so excited that he wanted his disciples to see, you know, that this really honored God, and this is what God really appreciates. And I think our giving honors God, my friend. You know, two coins, copper coins, it's not worthy, but you know, everything when we give to God, it honors him. But how do we give him? How do we bring that kind of honor, you know, in the sight of God? Sometimes we might say, you know, I'm nothing. I'm a nobody. You know, I don't have a much good career. But let me tell you, it's not just a large amount, the medium kind of amount, but, you know, how do we bring honor to God? And that's what the passage is talking to us. A couple of things that we will, you know, bring back in terms of study. First thing, you know, she gave as an act of worship. Because if you realize, she was in the temple. Right, there's a large group of people, and she wanted to be in the place where God was worshipped, and she wanted to just give because she was concerned about the things of God. She was there. She could have said, you know, this money it's nothing. It's not going to do anything, right? The temple, you know, they can't employ another person to clean the place or buy something or even buy a candle. Or oil, you know, she wanted to be in the temple where people were just sacrificing. I wanted to worship God. You know, I might be nobody, I might have nothing, but I just want to give, because she saw giving as an act of worship, my friend. Singing is an act of worship. Prayer is an act of worship. Giving is also an act of worship, because remember, when we take offering, you know, it's part of the worship, because, you know, we tell ourselves, you know, we give our hearts to God, yes? Where is our heart? Wherever our treasure is. And so what's happening? We give, and she was giving because she wanted to worship God. And this is what I have, Lord, and I want to give it to you, because I'm concerned about the things that matters to you. I'm concerned about the temple. You know, for a moment I was telling myself, why should she give? Because in Mark chapter 11, what was happening? When Jesus came to Jerusalem, he came to the temple, he saw the people, the money changers, and what did he do? He turned the tables, right? Because Jesus was saying, you know, you have turned the house of God into a den of thieves. It should be a house of prayer. And you see, you know, Jesus coming and turning. She could have easily said, why should I give to the temple? Because it's not a perfect place. Even Jesus turned the tables, the money changers who were in the temple, right, trying to do some kind of business. Why should I give? It's not a perfect place. Why should I give to my church? Why should I support the kind of people? Let me tell you, we will never find a perfect church, my friend. We will never. She could have said, you know, Jesus have turned, you know, and why should I give? Because she gave, because it was an act of worship. I'm not just giving to my temple, but I'm giving to God. But it might not be perfect. You know, sometimes the temptation is when we see certain things happening in the church. You know, I'm not talking about our church here, because I do not know how many of you are giving, right? I don't have access, right? I don't want to have access, right, to see who is giving, who is not giving. So I really do not know. I know only myself, you know, what I give. That's all, right? Other than that, it is confidential in the church. I'm not saying because I saw the accounts book, nothing of that sort. You know, she gave because she loved the Lord. And she was concerned about the temple, my friend. And she gave. Jesus could have stopped her and said, don't give, these guys are a dent of thieves, right? They were selling pigeons for a different price. They were taking interest, right? And they were giving the sheep for a different price. It is daylight robbery. So don't give to the temple. Jesus could have actually stopped her, my friend, because just a moment ago, Jesus showed, you know, this is not a place where you do business of this nature. Jesus, you know, appreciated the way she gave. He called the disciples and said, truly, right, she has given. Because she gave as an act of worship. Let me tell you, when we give to God, right, let's not give because, you know, I have to give. I give because I worship God. Let's not give because, you know, because the church is like this, so I'm going to withhold my funds. Let me tell you, I've seen it in my church ministry back in Singapore. Right? If they don't like the pastor, they don't give. If they don't like the elders' board, they don't give. They don't like the decision the church gives, you know, makes, they don't give, you know. But, you know, she said, you know, I just want to give. I want to give to God because whatever I have, you know, belongs to Him. Secondly, right? And so the Word of God says, no, honor me, right, with your wealth. And the best of part of everything your land produces. And that's what God's word says. And secondly, what happens, I think, Jesus in verse 43 and 44 is saying, you know, she says, they gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. Right? When I look at this word, I'm reminded of this. She gave wholeheartedly. Did I tell you earlier, right? I told you. It was optional. It was free will. She was not required to give. The only requirement was to give towards that temple tax, which was half a shekel. Right? It's optional. You need not give. But what happened? I think she gave wholeheartedly. Right? She gave wholeheartedly. She could have said, you know, I'm going to give just one coin, and I'm going to keep the rest. Or she could have said, you know what, my two coins is not going to make a difference. She could have withheld and said, you know what's going to make a difference? The church is, you know, doing this, so my $2 is not going to make a difference. She could have just said like that. But she gave wholeheartedly. You know, sometimes even in our ministry also, sometimes we think, you know, Pastor Vincent, it's not only, you know, if I just, you know, do this ministry, you know, I don't think so. My ministry is too small, or this is, you know, the Lord says, you know, whatever it is, right? It might be the smallest ministry in the eyes of the people, but when we are faithful, when we are good stewards of the things that is given to us, each and every one of us have been given a gift, and we are faithful, and we give our soul, heart, and mind into it, my friend. It brings glory and honor to God. Wherever we are, even when we are teaching, we might be doing tag, we might be ushering, you know, I want to do it wholeheartedly. I know sometimes the young people are doing ushering. They might say, you know, I'm young, right? So people who come to the church, you know, they might see me young. Let me tell you, young people, you know, when we do it wholeheartedly, don't say, think that you are young. But when we do it, you know, it brings glory and honor to God. And that was what she was trying to do, right? She gave wholeheartedly. She did not withhold. Not only that, I think God can multiply the gifts because if we look at the scriptures very carefully, how many loaves and how many fishes? Hello? Good morning, NCAC. 5 loaves and 2 fishes, right? And Jesus turned it. He took the small things, right? And he was able to bless. Sometimes I think, you know, when we go to heaven, maybe someone might say, you know, because of your small gift, right, I'm here today. They were able to, you know, reach out to me. So every money that we give, or even our time that we give to God, when we give it wholeheartedly, without holding back, it brings glory and honor to God. Let me move on. You know, it says the same words. She put in everything. As I said, you know, she gave more than what was commanded. What was expected was just a half shekel. You know, and she gave. And she gave. She was very faithful. What was commanded in the scriptures? I don't know how many of you, you know, with me in terms of giving of tithes, right? I think the scripture is very, very clear about giving of our tithes to God. And what was commanded in the scriptures was 1/10. That was what was accepted. Jesus was not against it. If you read Matthew 23:23, you know, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. He doesn't say don't tithe, you know. He is actually saying you need to tithe, but the way you tithe is important, right? It's about the heart, you know. And he says, you know, you guys don't do justice and all that. And so he also says, you know, the way that we should be tithing, it's commanded. And you know what was happening? You know, she gave more than the 1/10 that was given to her. She gave more. Right? She did not withhold. You know, if in today's world we will say, don't. Right? We will bless her with more money. We will give as a church, right? Because we have love funds, we will bless her. But she wanted to give more than what is expected. She was willing to let go. Right? It's going to be a struggle. I do not know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I'm willing to give. And she gave more than what was expected. And lastly, you know, let me finish with this. Right? She gave out of her poverty, put in everything she had, and then she had to live on. You know, and this is what probably maybe after the worshiping God, she's going to buy something, probably a small sandwich or just a loaf of bread. Right? Can you imagine? She's giving and she's leaving the temple. For a moment, can you imagine? Just nothing in my pocket. I don't have anything. Right? And there's a lot of people. I believe she will be hungry. She's a poor widow. Right? And she's just coming because that tells me, right, she trusted God in her finances. Lord, I don't have anything. I just trust you in my finances. And I know you're going to provide. I do not know how, because I'm going to leave the temple after giving this. I do not know how. I might be, you know, I do not know when. But I just want to trust you even in my finances. Yes, my friend, today we trust God for in quite a lot of things. But do we trust Him in our finances? Are we, you know, trusting in such a way that we say, yes, you know, I have limited, but I still want to give to God. I've limited of my time, but I still want to give some of my, you know, the time, or maybe more than what is expected. I want to give my time to God. I'm fighting for my time, but I still want to give. Do we want to trust God in our finances? And that's what she did. Because she had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we have that kind of faith in the things that we do, my friend, that brings glory and honor to God. She's radical, right? She gave. And that's why the Word of God says, you know what the Word of God says, right? In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, it says, the Lord says, test me in this, right? Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. He says, test me. Come on, test me. Try me. And see how I will bless you. Try me, you know, test me with your giving. test me, you know, with that, you know, you might have limited time. The Lord says, test me with this. Let me tell you, I'll bless you differently. Bless you with a lot of other things that we might not even. He says, you know, and you'll see, I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven. Can you imagine? God is faithful in his words, my friend. The floodgates of heaven, and pour out so much blessing that there will be no more room enough to store it. That's the kind of God that we worship, my friend. Do we trust him in our finances? Or do we give him the spare things? And I do not know this illustration. Right? When we go to the supermarket, $20 is small. But putting $20 into the offering bag, it's big. Right? Bring $20 to Markville Mall, it's nothing, right? But to take our $20 to give to the offering, we feel as if we have been departing away from $2,000. Let me finish with this, right? By the way, as I told you, I do not know the accounts book, so I'm not, you know, having people in mind, nothing of that sort. You can trust me in that. You know, if not, you can ask the treasury of our church. I was reading a story, you know, it's about, I don't know whether it's a true story, but this is what I read. It's about a family was attending a church, right? And the husband and wife were elderly people. God has blessed them, and so they were attending a church. And so the pastor was announcing at the church and saying, you know, so-and-so family has donated, let me give us number, $10,000, right, to the church because the son died in a war. And so they're just giving a memorial offering to God, $10,000, because the son died. And so the wife, you know, she looked at the husband. The husband was not looking, so she pushed the husband, right, with the elbow. The guy looked at her and said, why shall we give $10,000 to? The husband said, no, why should we give? Because our son is not dead. He's alive. He's still working, right? He's still in the army. And she said, and that's the reason we should give, because he's not dead, he's alive, and we need to be grateful to God for the life God has given to our son. I think today, my friend, I thought, do we trust God? Let's pray. I just want you to take a moment and just think about the way that we give to the church. Not only money, but even our time, the talents that God has given to us, the things that God has entrusted to us. Imagine Jesus just sitting down. He got 48 hours before he'll be tried, but even then, he sat down because he wanted to see. Because our giving, and God cares about our giving, my friend. It tells us about what is important in our lives. Are we good stewards of the things that God has given to us? God can withhold his blessings, but God has been so gracious. Can you imagine? She could have said, you know, I'm not going to temple because I'm poor, I'm widow, I'm nobody. I got nothing. But she came because she wanted to worship God. She gave because she saw giving as part of worship. You know something? thanksgiving is part of worship. She gave more than what was commanded, my friend. She could have said, you know, I'll just give one. Or she could have told, Lord, I owe you, kind of a thing. She did not think about a future, but she just said, oh, Lord, I'll just give. Because I trust you. Because you know the best for me. Do we trust God in our finances today, my friend? Do you know many times in our life we have difficulty to have both ends meet? Sometimes we realize we earn a lot, but we still have financial constraints. But God says, test me. And I'll open the floodgates. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given to us. We pray, God, that we'll worship you with our whole heart and mind and our soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.